Members, good afternoon. We're going to go ahead and call to order the March 2nd meeting of the Finance and Facilities Subcommittee. Good afternoon. Members, please remember to turn on your microphone when answering roll call. Aaron, please go ahead and call the roll to get us started.
Chair Yarborough.
Here.
Representatives Beltran.
Here.
Benjamin.
Here.
Botana.
Here.
Busada Cabrera.
Here.
Caruso.
Here.
Cheney.
Here.
Duran.
Here.
Fabricio.
Here.
Panchowski.
Here.
Joseph.
Here.
Mello.
Here.
Mooney.
Here.
Morales.
Present.
Persons Malika.
Here.
Sabatini.
Here.
Tant. And Williamson.
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you, Aaron. The members, welcome back to Tallahassee. I hope you and your families are well and will continue to be healthy as we head into session. Thank you for your interest also and your engagement as we work through several presentations during our interim committee week time. I appreciate all of you asking questions and taking the issue seriously that we were discussing and all, so that is much appreciated. So now we begin taking up bills today. Today we have three bills on our agenda, and we'll go ahead and get started. Our first bill is House Bill 309, Dementia-Related Staff Training by Representative Byrd. Representative, good afternoon, and you're recognized to explain your bill. Make sure that mic's on, Rep. There you go.
It says it's, okay, there we go. There All right, go. Fantastic. Thank you. Members, for your consideration today of House Bill 309, Dementia-Related Training. Florida's sixth leading cause of death is Alzheimer's disease, and it is the only disease in the top 10 with the cause of death without prevention, treatment, or care, or cure, not care. COVID-19 casts an important, indelible spotlight on the nation's long-term care communities and our quality of life when we age and become more vulnerable, and that was highlighted today in the Governor's State of the State address. This legislation will enhance the existing training for staff in Florida's long-term care communities, including assisted living facilities, nursing homes, home health agencies, adult daycare, and hospice facilities. It will consolidate and streamline training across the long care spectrum, and currently the regulations governing these communities and Alzheimer's training for their staff are spread out over five statutes. This bill would consolidate those five into one and focuses on staff, especially new hires, as well as continuing education to ensure care workers in these communities have the latest information and techniques for recognizing and managing the disease. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative, for explaining the bill. Members, we're now open for questions. Any questions on the bill as presented? Representative Sabatini, you're recognized for a question.
Hey, thank you so much, Chair. Representative Byrd, what's the system now? What's in place now for training when it comes to this area that we're changing the law from? Just curious what exists already.
You're recognized.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. So as I indicated, there are five different statutes that deal with dementia training. And so this is to enhance that training, put it all into one statute. So the various types of whether it's home health agencies, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, that the training is consistent across the board. So as people maybe move from one place to another, they can take that training with them, and it's just to make it more consistent.
Follow-up
question.
Yes, sir.
Please,
go ahead.
Thank
yes.
you. In the bill now, this is direct economic impact on the private sector is going to be negative, but doesn't actually try to guess at how negative in terms of how much money it's going to cost. Do we have a sort of good faith estimate of what we think it might cost, or what maybe some of the stakeholders think it might cost, this extra training?
You recognize, Rep.
The staff analysis obviously indicates that it's negligible. The goal here is to make sure that those persons that are in our assisted living facilities with dementia have the best care and treatment available. And so while there may be some cost in the long run, it will provide better care for those individuals.
Just one more question.
Go ahead, Rip.
Just to be clear, I mean, it does say that it's going to be negative, not negligible. I mean, if you think it's going to be negligible, I'll take that very seriously. But it does say negative, and then it says indeterminate in terms of the actual amount.
Is there a question in there, Rip?
Yeah, I'm just curious if that's what you're looking at, too.
You recognized, Representative.
This is not negative.
The industry favors the bill, so okay. Obviously they think it's the right thing to do for the people in their care. And while there may be some cost associated with it, they believe that cost will, in the long term, benefit the patients under their care.
Thanks.
Thank you. Additional questions? Ranking Member Joseph, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hi, Chair Byrd. Quick question. I was trying to figure out, do the training requirements apply to employees contracted by long-term healthcare facilities or home health agencies as well?
You're recognized.
Yes, and we do have an expert from the Alzheimer's Association who can probably address some of these questions, but yes, my belief is that it does.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Additional questions, members? Representative Benjamin, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know how you're doing, Chair Byrd. I kind of want to go back to the question that was given by Representative Sabatini. You said it was five different statutes that kind of cover dementia training because they deal with different healthcare providers, I'm assuming. And so this bill will consolidate it so that it is one standard across the board?
Right. We are trying to get to one standard across the board for Alzheimer's related training.
Such that anybody who's providing dementia care has to follow this particular standard of care or standard of training.
Correct.
You're recognized.
All right, great. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Representative. Additional questions? Okay, thank you. We do have an amendment. Rep. Byrd, you do have one amendment. It's barcode 784539. You're recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Chairman. And so following discussions with the committee staff, the Alzheimer's Association, the Department of Elder Affairs, and the industry, some clarifying changes have been made to the bill. This amendment clarifies which industries this change will apply to. It provides for the use of existing evidence-based training programs to meet the requirements of the bill, removes a section that asks for the creation of a standard curriculum by the department, extends the amount of time facilities have to train staff from 90 days to 120 days, clarifies language relating to an assessment, giving the industry the flexibility to administer their own assessments for the training, and adds language which clarifies for staff who work across multiple facilities that their training is transferable and provides that records of the training be available in each facility in which they work. That is the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. And members, I should have mentioned too, you should have a blue sheet in front of you that gives some of the highlights of the amendments. And if you don't have one, then we'll get a copy for you so that you have that. In keeping with what Representative Byrd just explained on the amendment, members, do we have any questions on the amendment? Representative Benjamin, you're recognized for a question. Oh, you need it. Okay. Any questions, members, on the amendment? Questions? Okay. Seeing none, public testimony on the amendment. We have one appearance card on the amendment. Mr. John Connolly with the Alzheimer's Association. Thank you. Okay, seeing no additional speakers on the amendment, we're now in debate on the amendment. Members, any debate on the amendment? Any debate? Okay, seeing none, Representative, you recognize to close on the amendment?
Wave close.
Thank you. And without objection, we will show that amendment as adopted. So we're now on the bill as amended, and we're now in debate on the bill as amended. Any debate? Ranking Member, okay. Vice Chair Caruso, you recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for this good bill, Representative. You know, with Florida's elderly population continuing to increase in size, as well as the increase in individuals with dementia-related conditions, it's great to see that this good bill addresses that, makes sure that they will be getting the care they need. I'm up on this bill, and I hope everybody here is too.
Okay. Thank you, Vice Chair. And members, excuse me, we need to go back. We actually had a few speakers that wanted to speak on the bill as amended, so I apologize. Let me get to those quickly. First, we have Mr. Cliff Bauer with Miami Jewish Health. Mr. Bauer, my apologies, sir. You're recognized.
None taken, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much. I am Cliff Bauer. I represent Miami Jewish Health. We've been serving the elderly in South Florida for more than 80 years. And this bill applies to every line of service that we offer to our clients, participants, residents, patients that we have at Miami Jewish Health. We are in support of the bill. We very much appreciate the amendments that have been made. We would ask that one exception be that instead of extending, we appreciate the 90-day, extending the 30 days to 120 days, given all this travails that COVID has presented to all healthcare providers, getting adequate amount of staff and then get them off the floor so they can get the training, it presents some real challenges. So we appreciate the extended period of time, not only for the first 30 days, we'd also ask the representative's consideration of extending the requirement to the first 12 months of employment rather than the first 9 months of employment. So those are the only exceptions. We do support the bill and the concepts behind it.
Thank you. We appreciate being here today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for public testimony, Mr. David Serdar. Mr. Serdar, is he here? Okay, I don't see him. And then Mr. Connolly, again, on the now on the bill as amended. You're recognized.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'm John Connolly, the State Affairs Director for the Alzheimer's Association in Florida. And on behalf of the Alzheimer's Association and the 580,000 Floridians impacted by the disease, we'd like to thank the representative for putting this legislation forward. With over 4,000 long-term care facilities in our state and more than 60% of those residents living in these facilities having some form of cognitive impairment or dementia, the care associated with these residents can be challenging, to say the least. The impact of COVID-19 has been the greatest on our elderly and those who reside in our long-term care facilities. As a result, the care that staff in these facilities provide has never been more critical. During these times, staff play an even greater role as the resident populations remain more isolated and vulnerable. The Alzheimer's Association Dementia Care Practice Recommendations released in 2018 recognized that the cornerstone of providing quality dementia care in all settings is the dementia-specific training for professional care staff. As you heard, this legislation streamlines what's currently in five different sections of statute and consolidates so that they all are on par, as the representative asked, with the same training requirements. Chair, members, again, we thank the representative for sponsoring this, and we hope for your favorable support.
Thank you, Mr. Connolly. Appreciate you being with us today. Members, that concludes our speakers for public testimony, so we're now back in proper posture, and we will go back to debate. Members, any additional debate? Representative Persons-Mullica, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Rep. Byrd, for bringing this very important piece of legislation forward. So many families in our great state are affected by dementia and Alzheimer's, including my own. My grandmother passed away within the last 2 years from Alzheimer's, and I know firsthand how challenging it can be to care for your loved ones and to find care for them. So thank you for bringing this forward, and I'll proudly be up on this bill today.
Thank you. Ranking Member Joseph, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Byrd, I just want to congratulate you on thoroughly working your bill and working with the agency to work out the details. I appreciate the efforts made in the amendment, and if you could, in your closing, since we didn't get a chance to ask the question that Mr. Bauer raised just momentarily about the possibility of extending the additional time periods to allow the facilities adequate time to address their staffing, that would be great. And I just wanted to thank you for the bill. My family, too, has been impacted by Alzheimer's, and that can be a challenge for everybody involved. So thank you.
Thank you, Ranking Member. Any additional members in debate? Representative Morales, you're recognized in debate.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I just want to share also that I have been taking care of a loved one. I lost her 4 years ago, and I know what the challenges that we go through. So I'm glad to be sitting here in this committee and listen to this proposal. I'm sure that hundreds of people are listening and hearing this, but that the people here have experienced that experience. So at least we're here to witness and to share that with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any further debate? Okay, seeing none, Representative Byrd, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chairman. And to address Ranking Member Joseph's question, we're continuing to have conversations. We did extend it an additional 30 days. But as you've heard and as you know from your own experience, I mean, the goal is to provide that care that these patients need as soon and as quickly as possible. So we're trying to balance the needs of the industry with the needs of family members and those affected by dementia, and we can continue to have that conversation. More than happy to have that with you. And I'll let my close be the members of the committee who've spoken about their experiences and their family members, and that's why we're doing this, and I would ask for your favorable support. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Byrd, having closed on the bill, Aaron, please call the roll on House Bill 309 and announce the vote.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Busada Cabrera? Caruso?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Kontrowski?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Mooney? Morales?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Sabatini?
No.
Tant?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Cherry Yarborough?
Yes.
15 yeas and 1 nay, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Aaron. Show the bill reported favorably as amended. Thank you, Representative Byrd. Yes, sir. Members, our next bill will be House Bill 701, Behavioral Healthcare Services Coverage and Access by Chair Stevenson. Chair Stevenson, you are recognized to present your bill. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Chair Yarborough, Vice Chair Caruso, Ranking Member Joseph. I appreciate the opportunity to share this bill with you today. Behavioral health refers to the promotion of mental health, resilience, and well-being. It also entails the treatment of mental health and substance use disorder and the ongoing support of those people with that experience and recovering from those conditions. As a member of the Florida House, I have received numerous complaints about access to mental health services. Some of those complaints have been brought to me by mothers, brothers, and sisters years after the patient has passed the time when treatment is likely to restore them more fully to health. Some of the complaints that they or their family members have brought was the difficulty in when they seek services early before a disease has progressed to more severe consequences. The family members often will have no documentation of whom they spoke to or who they complained to. When I sought information that is maintained by the Department of Financial Service on these complaints, I learned that they receive and open files on about 5 cases a year. The department works with insurance companies to resolve access issues. This really surprised me, and for you that are new members, you will receive complaints like this. And so I received quite a few in my own office, and what I wanted to do is ensure that our constituents know that they can call the department for assistance when these serious issues arise in their family. I worked with the Health and Human Services staff to gain a better understanding of how we could help consumers resolve problems they encounter when seeking access to behavioral health, and so that we as legislators could gain an understanding of any obstacles that our constituents were encountering. This resulted in the language before you today in House Bill 701. House Bill 701 would require health insurers and HMOs to provide written notice to covered individuals outlining the federal and state requirements for coverage of behavioral health services. In addition, the notice must include the statewide toll-free number established by the Division of Consumer Services at DFS for reporting complaints for reporting complaints relating to the availability, affordability, and adequacy of behavioral health services. The bill directs DFS, Department of Financial Services, in collaboration with ACA, to establish a system to track and monitor complaints related to behavioral health care services submitted by insured individuals to the Division of Consumer Services and provide a report to the legislature by January 1, 2022. This would include data on complaints received by the division related to behavioral health services. With the improvements of behavioral health services through understanding the diseases, counseling, and in some cases, medication, many people, even those with serious mental illness, such as schizophrenia and schizoaffective disorder, bipolar, or severe depression, are living full and productive lives because they received treatment, the treatment they needed, when they needed. Still, many do not. When an individual seeks supportive services for themselves or their children, they need to be connected to supported services on an expedient basis. And that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Stevenson. Having explained the bill, members, we're now open for questions. Any questions? Representative Sabatini, recognized for question.
Thank you for the bill, Representative Stevenson. Do we know what the rough cost would be for this system of tracking and monitoring complaints that DFS in collaboration with ACCA is going to create and operate?
Chair, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Yarborough. Representative Sabatini, I appreciate you asking that question. I think that the wording here that says a system indicates to some people a computer system. And what we're talking about is more of a practice. There is already a complaint system. They have a tracking device, tracking software. But this is more about the practice of capturing the complaints and then preparing the, collaborating with ACCA because they have the medical information and then providing a report to the legislature, the governor of the House, Speaker of the House, and Senate President.
Follow up.
And one follow-up question.
Yes,
Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you. The requirement that they provide this written notice, is this going to be like a hard copy? Just, hey, listen, this is the outlined version of what you are entitled to, basically.
You're recognized.
Thank you. That is usually a formal report that is, and I will mention the DFS does make reports available upon request and is able, when members have a request, that's how I was able to get the basic understanding of how few people are using the system at this time. In fact, the number was so few that they could not really provide me information because it was difficult to anonymize it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional questions, members? Okay. Representative Duran, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill. Just a quick question. I noticed that what we're requiring the DFS, the agency, and ACCA to do is a joint report. Is this just one time that we're asking for this report, or I mean, for the way it's read, it seems like it's a one-off report that we're going to be able to use?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Representative Duran, for that question. I am not sure what will happen when we do this, what the report will entail. It may be advisable for it to be a recurring report. But in the beginning, I just wanted to have a chance to do it. In multiple years, that may be something we consider in the future. I will also, Mr. Chair, if I may add.
Yes, ma'am.
The earlier question, there has been, because questions have arisen about the word system, we are looking at a way to make that language more clear, and that would be a change perhaps we'll see in a future committee.
Thank you. Rep. Duran, did that answer? You get, okay, thank you. Question, Representative Benjamin, you're recognized for a question, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for presenting your bill. My question is that, are we talking, are we saying that people are complaining that they don't have access to behavioral health services through private or government-sponsored health care? Which one are we talking about?
You're recognized.
Thank you. This bill refers to the private sector. Medicaid and Medicaid has a process that deals with people that are in the uninsured category that we could provide additional details. But this bill is particularly about insured people. I have heard from some people that they have difficulty insured receiving timely coverage through their insured carriers. And we actually have some documented complaints that people are having difficulty getting timely service. The DFS, Department of Financial Services, intervenes, and they are able to find a local provider. The root cause of those issues, I'm not sure if it's the number of practitioners, because people are increasingly aware of behavioral health issues and more willing to pursue services. That we need to develop more providers. I've heard complaints about adequacy of network and those kinds of things. And that's what I'm hoping we can learn more about in this system. I believe there's a state interest in this, because when people do not get the services they need while they're insured, and I've had cases like this reported to me, they frequently will lose their job, lose their family, lose their support network, and then they are on the Medicaid rolls. And this is not a tragedy because of the expense. The tragedy is the lost years of opportunity, the children in foster care, perhaps incarceration, the bad outcomes, and sometimes permanent damage to the ability of the individual to fully recover. Timely service is important, especially because many of these issues will rise between 16 and 20. A lot of times they're still insured by their families, maybe an employed person in their family's coverage.
Mr. Chair, a follow-up?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So just so I'm clear, these folks are covered for the services, and they don't have a provider in their network, and they don't know how to complain. And so this bill assists them in getting the complaint about not having sufficient providers in the network.
Yes.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. The Office of Insurance Regulation gets complaints about access, price, and practice. I will also say there are legal requirements, and they do review the policies for compliance with the federal and state law as the policies are approved. So there's already a lot of work going on in this area, but we still get the complaints. And I don't know about you, but I want to get those complaints when I have a chance to do something about them. I had one this spring, and it's really important that we close the gap. And if I'm hearing some and they're hearing some, but yet so few, we just want to make sure everybody has a chance to help getting resolution.
Good. Okay. Any additional questions? Representative Morales, you're recognized for a question.
Yes, just a quick question. Is it possible in the future, could you come up with a statistic of analysis of how, if we have a systematic system, like, where are those complaints coming from mostly? Is it African American, Hispanic, Asian? Can we have like a summary in the future? Can you provide that in the future?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There, I can talk to the agency. I think there are issues with access to care, and I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not trying to point fingers or labeling, but I have encountered that there is very strong stigma in general for mental health services, and it is even stronger in some groups, ethnic groups, maybe some religious groups. But that stigma is not something that we can address in legislation. It's something we have to do by talking about it, letting people know there's successful treatment. You see it more and more on TV. That helps too. But I can see there is a privacy issue, and it's not always, I'm not sure how forthcoming everyone will be on those kind of issues, but we can always make requests.
Thank you. Any additional questions, members? Okay, seeing none, we have no amendments proposed for the bill, so we'll move into public testimony. We have one card that has been submitted. Mr. Adam Roberts with the Florida Mental Health Advocacy Coalition.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Members, we appreciate the time. Again, I represent the Florida Mental Health Advocacy Coalition, which is comprised of NAMI affiliates and Mental Health America affiliates from across the state. We support this bill, and mainly we see this bill as an avenue to identify possible barriers within the system to mental health access and services, and allows us to then, once we've identified those areas, to try and come up with solution to those barriers so we can provide those services that are much needed to those suffering from mental health issues and substance abuse issues. I thank you for your time and your consideration of this bill. Thank you all.
Thank you. We appreciate you being here, Mr. Roberts. Seeing no additional public testimony, we're now in debate on the bill. Thank you, Vice Chair. Is that Mr. Sardar in the audience? Okay, we don't have a speaker card for you on this bill, but we have it on a bill we just took up and on the next bill, so you'll be recognized on the next bill. Thank you. We have no additional speakers on this bill for public testimony, members, so we're now in debate. Any debate on this bill? Ranking Member Joseph and then Representative Sabatini. Go ahead, Ranking Member.
I am so sorry, Chair. I think I'm a little bit out of order, but I did have one question. Is it possible to ask a question now, or is it too late?
Well, we're already in debate, so we're past the for questions.
Okay. Ranking Member. So here's thank you for
but
the
you're recognized for debate. If you
yeah, yeah, that's fine. Thank you for the bill. If you could address in your closing, so it aligns it with the federal mandate, right? But the July 1st and the January 1st date is the only thing I'm a little confused about. So if you could address that in some artful way that doesn't take away from what you already have planned, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
A very good way of doing it, Ranking Member. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Representative Sabatini and then Representative Tant. Go ahead, Representative.
Thank you, Chairman. Right now, healthcare services are at an all-time high in terms of cost. And that's my strongest concern is the biggest problem to access is the fact that healthcare is basically unavoidable. One of the reasons healthcare services are of mental or physical are so expensive is because they're so highly regulated. So right now, although this bill is important and it's looking at the problems, identifying and trying to fix it, I'm afraid that any kind of a new mandate or system tracking obligation from the state would just further cause the spike in costs for the healthcare services. So I'll be down on the bill, not to say that I wouldn't support the bill in the future when it gets to a better posture. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Sabatini. Representative Tant, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you. I just wanted to express my support for this bill. As a parent of a child and also associated with many who have had need of increased mental health services access during this pandemic, I firmly believe that part of the issue is that folks don't know what their insurance coverage covers, and I think that this is an important step and also finding out where the barriers are. So I'm a strong yes vote for your bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Tant. Vice Chair Caruso, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for bringing this bill forward, Representative. With such significant number of Florida individuals with mental health disorders, having a system to track and monitor these complaints is essential, and to making sure that our behavioral health providers provide the best care possible. This is personal to me. I had I still have a son with bipolar schizophrenia. He was hospitalized. Insurance gave him 30 days. I was his court-appointed advisor, or court-appointed medical individual. And after 30 days, they let him out. And for the next 6 years, he was homeless, and we didn't know where he was. So I tried to complain, and I complained to the provider. That got me nowhere. I complained to the state. I felt like it was, shouting into the wind, and nothing ever got accomplished. I never heard back from anyone. So having this system will, and the feedback from the system will go a long way to making sure that those with mental health issues are addressed better and provided better health care in the future. So thank you. I'm up on this bill. I hope everybody can get behind this thing and encourage you to vote yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Vice Chair. Representative Duran, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative, thank you for bringing this bill. When I think about some of the comments were made, it seems pretty low in terms of ask in respect to the insurance companies. Easy, they're already providing this information, and they could just add another sentence in there that provides what you're asking for. And with respect to the report, I don't see how it's going to spend a lot of time, resources, or energy. It seems like it's just pulling a quick Excel sheet that has a lot of this information that we can then review as it's put together. So thank you for bringing it. It should be helpful for us all.
Thank you. Representative Hanchowski, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. Chair Stevens. I just wanted to say, you spoke about the stigma associated with mental health. Now imagine you're doing something in that arena and you're finding challenges and you're finding problems. it's just only compounding the stigma associated, because now you're dealing with issues of even getting the access to the care and making sure that the next person is aware of where the problems are. When we talk about government being effective and efficient, efficiency also means delivery of services. So if you're allowing people to not know the information on the quality of the care and where there are problems, how can you fix those services and the delivery of them? So I actually think overall, this is a more, this is a method or a way to make the system more efficient, and that is a great savings to everybody. So thank you very much for this.
Thank you. Members, any additional debate on the bill? Any additional debate? Okay, seeing none, Chair Stevenson, you recognize to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair Yarbrough, and thank you, members, for all your comments. Regarding cost, I do believe this will be minor in relation to the benefit, because if only a couple of people's a year are saved, the long-term care, that costs that fall onto Medicaid, the cost in terms of the family, and the loss of capability and expertise of the individual can be very significant. I was with being briefed by CMS a couple of years ago is a group of female legislators a woman from CMS came up and spoke to us, and they said in the Medicare population, providing behavioral health services is almost completely offset with a reduction of related healthcare costs, because someone who doesn't have their faculties aren't well managed is also not taking up diabetes and high blood pressure and other issues. I appreciate the comments. I appreciate the concern about cost, but I've asked for your support. I think this is a good step. This is not about laying blame or trying to increase cost. It's trying to ensure people get the services they need when they need it and where they need it. With that, I close, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Stevenson. Chair Stevenson, having closed on her bill, Erin, please call the roll on House Bill 701 and announce the vote.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Usada Cabrera?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Pentrovsky?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Morales?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Sabatini?
No.
Tant?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
17 yeas and one nay, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Aaron. We will show that bill reported favorably. Chair, thank you. Have a good afternoon. Members, we will now turn to our final bill on the agenda today, which is by Chair Rommel, House Bill 1067, Health Care Expenses. Rommel, you're recognized to present your bill. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Chairman, Vice Chairman, and Ranking Member. HB 1067, the bill increases transparencies in the healthcare market and encourages consumerism. It works together with the new federal requirements to help protect patients find cost-effective care and help them understand which costs they are responsible for. First part of the bill, it requires hospitals and ambulatory surgical centers and urgent care centers to post actual charges for a wide variety of healthcare services on their website. Their information can help patients shop for healthcare the way they shop for other goods and services. Second part of the bill, it requires facilities to provide a good faith estimate of charges to patients prior to services. Makes sense. Third part of the bill, it requires facilities to send these estimates to the patient's health insurance company so the patient knows exactly what the insurance company is going to cover and what they're responsible for. The fourth part of the bill, it does a little bit of protection for the consumer and make sure that a healthcare provider can't take away their home because of a medical debt. It also increases their exemptions in personal property if they're sued. Right now, they're only protected for $1,000. It increases it to $10,000. And it also protects their car. Right now, their car is only protected for $1,000. It increases it for $10,000. There's also some encouragement there, but it's not going to be into statute to encourage the health insurance company, once a consumer can actually shop for his services and they choose a cheaper or less expensive services, that they can share in those savings. And that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Chair Rommel, having explained the bill, members, we're now into questions on the bill. Any questions? Questions on the bill? Okay, seeing none. Chair Rama, I believe you have one amendment. It's barcode 046275. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Chairman. This restores current language. The way we wrote the bill, mistakenly, it says that they have to provide a good faith estimate for all healthcare services. It only applies to non-emergency services. It'd be difficult for them to give you a estimate while they're trying to stop your heart attack from killing you. That is the amendment.
Thank you for explaining the amendment. Members, any questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, we will move into public testimony on the amendment. We have one appearance request, Mr. David Sirdar. Mr. Sirdar. You're recognized on the amendment, sir. Good afternoon.
David Sirdar, Fruitland Park, Florida. My son's a male nurse. I just turned 65. I was on Obamacare. It was worthless. I know quite a few hospitals in my area of Lake County, Waterman Hospital. I know people that are on the boards of the Regency Medical Center in Leesburg and the Villages. In fact, there was a doctor, Anthony Sabatini, with Friday with Senator Maxley and Representative Hay. Dr. Patel knew me. Sirdar's very religious Indian doctors. But, anything that can help out. A guy my age, computers, it doesn't work too much. But any help we can get, Obamacare, it was a $7,000 deductible, I could never use it. But I did sign up for the one beforehand. I mean, I'm part of an anonymous association. There's too much drinking and drugging out there. And, we have a new plan to put the tax, the license plates on the phone with the compliance, safety and compliance. You almost should do that. I don't drink. Been there, done that. I grew up. A lot of society thinks this bud's for you. Have a drink. Our forefathers, prohibition, it went out of the wall, and the mob did it. The mob's out there. My Uncle Paul fought the mob. The mob got him back in the very first free trade act. He was a mink rancher. And it's all true. It just tears me up. A friend of mine, I just found out, Thomas Stedman, I was a candidate for Lake County Water Authority. I was a personal assistant. I'm basically broke. I'm a retired commercial cleaner. My wife a florist. I see everybody's got flowers. But we're all going to die someday. Guy died, and I don't know how, but I worked with him. I bailed him out. He hit me twice. He's nuts. It's not illegal to be insane. Or that's what I was told when I bailed him out, and he went right to Lystream. Lystream, 26 facilities. Tim Camp, the director, I just left him a message on the way up here. There's a lot of problems with society. I'm trying to get some respect laws. Ideas to teach. My dad taught me. My mother, if I didn't clean that behind the toilet and do it right the first time, I had to get my car keys. And you don't really see that anymore. There's parents out there, not even, they're calling themselves meth Americans at an AutoZone, which has an environmental commitment to society, executive board to reach out to because I know it. I worked there. I worked a lot of jobs in my lifetime. Bill Rhodes, saying and doing are two different things. A lady comes in. She brings in about five kids.
Mr. Stark, can you speak to the amendment, if you had any additional comments on the amendment?
Anything that can help the seniors out, not everybody knows how to do computers. Whatever helps the seniors. I just turned 65. I help when you get Medicare. I got cataracts. I got to get that done. Life's too short. Life's too short. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for being with us today. We have no additional appearance cards and public testimony, so we are now in debate on the amendment. Members, any debate on the amendment? Representative Cheney, you recognize the debate on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for bringing this bill forward. You and I talked, and I appreciate you took the time to explain some things to me, answer my questions. And my hope is that by posting the costs, that will help the uninsured and keep them off of, further problems, on lack of collection problems. Being in the medical industry myself, I know that the uninsured could receive a bill 3-4 times that of what an insured person receives. So now by making these costs public giving, empowering the consumer to be able to shop for good costs, it's my hope that your bill is going to bring these costs more in line. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cheney. Representative Sabatini, recognized in debate on the amendment.
Thank you very much. On the amendment, I apologize.
We'll come back to you on the bill. We're still on the amendment. Any additional debate on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, without objection, we will show that amendment as adopted. So we're now back on the bill as amended. And do we have no public testimony on the bill? We do have one, I apologize. Okay, Etta Fernandez? Okay, I don't see Etta, okay. We don't have any other public testimony appearance cards. So we're now in debate on the bill as amended. Representative Sabatini recognized in debate on the bill as amended.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. The last two bills I voted down on not because the bills were essentially bad, but because I thought the trade-off wasn't worth it. There were interventions into the healthcare marketplace in both, the first one in training requirements, the second with notification and systematic requirements that both add to the cost of healthcare. It's never going to be one bill that makes healthcare unaffordable. It's many straws that break the camel's back. This bill I'll be voting up for. Why? Because interventions in the free healthcare marketplace we have in this country, I think, are worth it when you're trying to save the system. We have market failure. People have no idea what healthcare costs are. The free market does not work because consumers are not equipped to make a free choice amongst competing healthcare service providers. This bill helps do that by forcing these free market actors to provide the costs of healthcare. Therefore, it makes the system work as a whole and lowers the cost of healthcare. I'll be supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Beltran, you're recognized in debate on the bill.
Thank you, Chairman. And my colleague, Reb Sabatini, has beat me to a couple of my points, but I also want to speak in favor of this good bill. There's nothing more annoying than surprise medical bills. Anyone who's been to the doctors doubtless experienced that, possibly on multiple occasions. And the fact that somebody's experiencing a medical issue and then having to deal with those surprise bills just adds insult to injury or vice versa. We absolutely need more transparency in this area. The whole basis of a free market, as we go back to our economics class from college or high school, is that there's availability of information about prices. That's the entire underpinning of the free market. We do not have that in healthcare. It's confusing when you go to check into the hospital or the doctor or the radiology or wherever you're going. They don't know the prices. They can't tell you. And if they could, they might not. This information is necessary information. If you buy a car, you buy a house. If you walk down the street to Andrews to buy a restaurant meal, you're going to get more information about the offerings and the prices than you do when it's your life in your hands and you're going to be subject to potentially thousands of dollars in expense. And so that information is available in basically every other area of the economy. It needs to be available to patients who are selecting their medical care. And I'm confident this bill is a step in the right direction. And thank you again, Chairman, for the good bill.
Thank you. Vice Chair Caruso, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Sabatini and Representative Beltran, for your thoughts. Like it's been said, we get estimates on when we repair our car, we get estimates from our plumber, our air conditioning guy. It's about time that we get an estimate from our healthcare providers. So thank you for bringing this bill forward. I hope everybody votes up.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Any additional debate on the bill as amended, members? Okay, seeing none, Chair Rama, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, members. I was going to allow the public testimony to be my close, but I think he kind of just missed on a couple issues. As legislators here in 59 days, we're going to be voting on the budget, hopefully 59 days. The biggest part of the budget in the state of Florida is cost of healthcare. The biggest part of the budget in the federal government is healthcare. For years, we've been talking about healthcare. We've seen some, great things happen in healthcare. We've seen, the expansive scope of practice. We've seen last year with telemedicine. We've seen the Affordable Care Act. You can debate whether it was good or bad, but we keep seeing things that are giving people more access to healthcare. In 1964, there was a man named Ronald Reagan that gave a speech before Barry Goldwater was going to speak. And the speech was called A Time for Choosing. And at that time in 1964, he talked about the tragedy that was happening with 5% of our GDP. That means $5 out of every $100 was going to the cost of health care. Well, today, it's $20 out of every $100. If you have $100 in your pocket right now, 20 of it will go to health care. It's the biggest expense next to somebody's home is the cost of health care. Hospitals are complaining that they're broke. Doctors are complaining that they're broke. Insurance companies are complaining that they're broke. Drug companies are complaining that they're broke. But the only people that are broke are us and our constituents. This bill finally will make that every scheduled procedure, you will be given an estimate. You will have the ability to go and shop for healthcare like you do everything else. Not that getting the cheapest care is always the answer, but if you have the ability to do that, if we can ever implement the savings portion. Right now, if you're having a deductible and your deductible is $1,000 or $5,000, whatever it is, some people don't care what it costs after that because that's all they're responsible for. We need constituents to be responsible. We need hospitals to be responsible. If you go to the dentist for a scheduled procedure, say you need a crown or a filling, they can tell you to the penny, no matter how many times you have to go back to get that fixed, what it's going to cost you. If you go for some type of cosmetic surgery, I know nobody in this room you will need any, but if you do, they're going to tell you to the penny what it's going to cost, no matter how many times you have to go there, whether you got an infection, whatever it is, they're going to take care of, because you know what? They're not getting paid from the insurance company. They're getting paid from you or me. And this bill finally puts that into proper form. And actually, at the end of 2020, we all complained that Congress never does anything. They actually did start, which was called the No Surprise Act, where it takes a lot of this into account. So, you know, if we ever want to get a control on healthcare, we need to have consumers have the information. This bill does it, and I appreciate your support.
Chair Rama, having closed on the bill, Aaron, please call the roll on House Bill 1067 and announce the vote.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Lusada Cabrera?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hanstrofsky?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Morales?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Chair Yarborough?
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Aaron. We will show the bill reported favorably as amended. Chair Rama,
thank you
very much. Have a good afternoon. Members, that brings us to the conclusion of our agenda. Thank you very much for your attention and engagement during our meeting today. So seeing no further business before the committee, Representative Botana moves that we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.